The Carmen and Yurko podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Go to Tito'sHometownTales.com and hear the stories of Chicago's defining sports moments through the lens of your favorite ESPN 1000 hosts. That's Tito'sHometownTales.com.
Biscuits and gravy. And Carmen and Yurko. Live in Vernon Hills at Buttermilk Cafe, just down the road from training camp on ESPN 1000.
Yeah, down a piece from Hallis over here by the mall, 60 and 21. That's where we're at, Buttermilk Cafe in Vernon Hills. Love this place. I went healthy this morning. I had an omelet. They've got a great, like they call it the Frenchie. It's got like brie cheese and mushrooms, little wheat toast. And then I've had the lemon blueberry pancakes here before, and they're great. Meller got them. I'm like, damn, I should have gotten the pancakes, man.
Yeah,
they're
no,
so good.
No biscuits and gravy for me here, Carm. I went with the Wilbur skillets.
Yes.
Which is obviously a bunch of pork with a skillet, some potatoes, nice little scrambled eggs on top. That was scrumptious.
Yeah.
With a side of the lemon blueberry pancakes, it was an excellent day.
They're fabulous.
And no Yurko for you. I am Jeff Meller sitting in for Yurk, who is taking the day today.
Yeah, Yurk down visiting cousin Bobo down in Florida for a little long weekend. He'll be back on Monday. We're right back here next Friday. Cap and Hoodie will be back here next Thursday like they were here yesterday. We're brought to you in part by First Midwest Bank, Midas, the home loan expert, and Valparaiso University. Great place. Love the food here. Buttermilk Cafe in Vernon Hills is where we're going to be hanging for some of these Bears training camp show. Training camp, quote, unquote. I mean, it's, you know, barely training camp anymore these days. It's just,
yeah, I mean,
it's so different. You know, I love it because it signifies that football's near, but
yes,
we used to really love training camp. It was an experience. Like, you went, we stayed for days in Bourbonnais, and there were 2 days and you night practices.
You would take in the practices. You would examine it with your own eyes.
Now it's nothing.
It's unfortunate that kind of that's where we're at these days. You have to reserve and win raffles to attend.
And then you got to take a shuttle. You got to park by us here, 2 miles away, and you got to shuttle over. Like, it's crazy.
But all we can do is promise you some good breakfast if you come out.
Yeah,
and say
the breakfast is great. You know, Rizzo's been traded. The Cubs have moved a lot of guys. A lot of guys got moved yesterday around the league. I think there were 9 trades. I know technically, you know, Meller just read the report. There's still, it's not official yet, this blockbuster between the Dodgers and the Nats. I think it'll get done. I mean, God, after all that we've been through for the last 12 hours or so, I mean, my goodness, pretty sure it'll happen. But, I mean, it was a blockbuster. There's been a flurry of activity. You think about big names changing teams. And, oh, there's 2 left before the deadline in 4 hours. And it's going to be Cubs-related again here because Kimbrel and Bryant all likely are going to go. It's been an action-packed trade deadline so far.
If you're a neutral baseball observer, I do think this has been the best trade deadline ever.
One of the best I can remember.
Because
I know we have recency bias usually when we say things like that, but I was thinking about it this morning on the way up here, Meller, and like, I can't remember one with big names like this and like some of the star power and impactful players like Gallo, Scherzer, Trey Turner changing teams.
Yeah, I mean, and
Rizzo.
Kimbrel will be moved.
Kimbrel.
We expect Bryant to be moved. Javi Baez's name has been floated out there. If anything, you wonder if part of the reason if he doesn't get dealt, you wonder if it's just Jed's dealing with, again, this is a hard job at this point.
It is.
When he has the biggest bat left on the market and also the most sought after reliever, it seems like it shouldn't be an issue, but listen, he's got to field calls from multiple different teams. Like, he needs to pare it down and say, okay, this is the, give me your best offer, submit him now. I would expect, like, we got to be getting close. It's 11:05 a.m. local.
Yeah.
We've got to be getting close to the time when Jed's telling teams, look, if you want in on the Kimbrel deal, give me your best offers right now, because I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to figure out who's got the best offer, and after that, maybe we'll do what the Nationals are doing to the Dodgers, and we're going to hold them hostage and say, hey, if you don't want him, we'll ship him off to your rival, the Padres.
Wow.
Maybe that's what's happening with the Dodgers right now.
Wow. What, will you think he breaks for lunch today?
No. I think...
No break for lunch? Is Jed powering through?
I think
Is he like, you know what, I'm going to take 30 and go over to Chipotle real quick.
Yeah,
like,
I think lunch...
Does that not happen?
Lunch has to wait till
Isn't he good friends with the Boca guys? Maybe he could...
That's true. Yeah. He's pretty tight with Kevin and Rob. Like, yeah, does he call Swift and Sons and say, send some food over, or does he...
Yeah, I think that's probably what happens. I think he gets a special...
Yeah, like Kevin brings a special platter over, and he like gives him a back massage while he tries to make a trade.
I want to know last night when the Rizzo trade happened. Was it like I see now? Every Billy Bean or the Moneyball's rooted for me because Brad Pitt's sitting there stuffing a Twinkie down his mouth as he's calling up Ed Wade to make a trade. Is that how it goes down? You know,
think so.
Yes. Okay,
maybe it was a ho ho and not a Twinkie.
Okay,
Mark. I don't know. Yeah, like that could be happening.
Was that when he shipped out Rincon or Pena?
Rincon, I think.
Yeah. Right? No, that was Ed Wade wasn't the GM of the Indians.
Astros. He was the Astros.
Yeah. But it was he was trading away Jeremy Giambi, right? Because he had had enough of him.
It was when he was getting Rincon. Remember, Ricardo Rincon. Like, he coveted him.
Yes.
And he kept asking the owner. He's like, I need a few extra million. And he was
not even that. I think it was like just shy of a million.
Whatever it was. And then it was the scene that he's eating the Twinkie, I think. Is when he's finally all juiced up and he's excited because they're pulling off the Rincon deal. But I could be wrong. Brad Pitt's always eating in his movies. We talk about that. So I sometimes lose track of...
That's a good rewatch. I'm going to have to go do that.
That's a good rewatchables.
Yes.
We got some callers here, Carmen. We want to talk to you guys.
Let's do it. Thoughts on Rizzo. The Cub fans can speak. What he meant to you. What you expect here as he goes to the Yankees. I mean, look, one of the easiest things to do in putting a baseball team together is figure out how to have some left-handed power on the Yankees. Somehow the Yankees, like, you know, Brian Cashman's doing that job for 20-something years, and, like, he forgot. Oh, yeah, that's right. We need lefties. They've got no production from their lefties this year, so what does he do? He goes out and gets Gallo. He gets Gallo and Rizzo. Those are big deals, especially Gallo. He's a pretty good ball player, good all-around player, good outfielder, and he's got some control left. So Rizzo and Gallo should certainly help. And the Yankees' price to make the playoffs did get adjusted at most of the books, going from plus 110 to minus 110 to make the playoffs after those deals. Who's up first? I think Jose in Mokena?
Homewood.
Oh, Homewood. I can't read Meller's writing. My bad. Jose in Homewood.
I don't know how you get Mokena out
of that looked like an M. I don't know. That H is terrible. What's going on, Jose?
What's up, guys?
How are you, buddy?
How you guys doing?
Good.
Right,
how are you?
Hey, I'm actually a Sox fan, so I was pretty shocked to see Rizzo go. To me, Rizzo was kind of like the Jose Abreu for the Cubs, you know, like the leader and all that. So I didn't think he was going to get traded, but, you know, go ahead.
Jose, here's the difference, though. I think Abreu, and everybody can bust my balls because I thought, listen,
as I do often,
you don't have to pay a guy just to pay a guy. If you believe in Andrew Vaughn, let Andrew Vaughn take that job. But they believed, they knew what they were entering into. They knew they were finally entering the next phase. Like, their rebuild was being escalated on the South side, and they still valued Jose's leadership ability and his bat enough where they wanted to bring him back. I think that's the difference with Rizzo. Like, we're seeing the end of the dynasty. The White Sox knew that they were transitioning into being a really good team, and they felt it was important to have Abreu around for that, especially considering the guy was a good player for them during some horse bleep years. You know, I think that's the difference.
Yeah, and he's the leader for the White Sox, too. Like, all the Atlanta players look up to him. So I kind of figured, you know, Rizzo, all these other Cubs players probably looked up to Rizzo, too. But it's sad to see him not to wear the Cubs jersey anymore. You know, I would have welcomed him with open arms if he wanted to come to the Sox. But, you know, we got Abreu.
We got Abreu. There you go. Jose, thanks. No room on the South side. They got enough first baseman / DHs right now. Although, I do like the idea of the little left-handed power that Rizzo would bring.
Yeah, that wouldn't be bad at all. I do think, too, there's a little bit of a disconnect. When you look at Rizzo, he still believes, and I think we'll see what he's able to get on the free agent market this winter. But I think he still believes that he is going to be a very productive player. He may be able to show that off a little bit in the new Yankee Stadium this year, where he can hopefully take advantage of that short right field porch if you're a Yankees fan. And I don't think the Cubs, you know, they're at a point now where they know the next couple of years are going to be about trying to put the talent on the field that will help them for the next wave of playoff runs, but I don't expect it to be in the next 2 or 3 years. And so paying Anthony Rizzo was... it's a luxury that, again, something we touched on earlier, it doesn't really make sense if you approach the way your team building the way most front offices do these days.
They got a bunch of young prospects for Darvish. They got a young prospect, a 19-year-old Dominican outfielder from the Yankees. Their best prospect, or he's probably their second or third-ranked prospect, Ed Howard, is about 19 years old, 20 years old. Like, I think you're right. It's a couple years away. And Cub fans might not want to think, oh, man, twice in a decade I got to do that. But the last one paid off big time with a really successful run with some really good teams. So you're hoping that that Jed's just going to duplicate that. I mean, this is like 2012 all over again in a sense, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the plan. And
young guys that might still be a few years away, and you're going to build through your farm system.
And it's a different landscape, too, because it's you can't go out and do what Rick Hahn did when he offloaded Chris Sale and Jose Quintana and Adam Eaton and built up the farm system in quick fashion. It's a little more difficult in this version of baseball. Teams don't want to give up that extra control. But again, I will say, if I think that's the one good point to take away from this, is that Tom Ricketts was willing to go out and spend the extra cash to cover Anthony Rizzo's contract to make sure that Jed got the prospects he wanted that he deems are going to be able to help them in the future.
Yeah, it is kind of amazing that the Yankees are looking to avoid the tax.
Like, but it's
The old man's rolling over.
Outside the Dodgers and the Padres, there's not too many teams out there that are willing to go into that luxury tax.
Look, the Red Sox got out of it. They dumped Mookie Betts because of it.
Yeah.
It is different. And not just the money. The money's a part of it, but there are other competitive issues that these front offices don't want to deal with, because there's some punitive things about loss of draft picks and things like that. That turns off analytically minded general managers that run these organizations these days. And so they go to their owners, and it's not just about the money. That does factor into it a little bit. The Padres are the new Yankees. They were like, yeah, we'll spend whatever, doesn't matter. And the Dodgers have spent and will continue to spend for quite some time. But most teams don't operate that like that. I mean, even the Red Sox said goodbye to a generational talent in Mookie Betts,
who was still in his prime.
Yes.
Like Rizzo's 33. You know what I'm saying? Like Mookie Betts is 27, 28 years old.
Crazy. Red Sox fans still can't get over it. Let's go to FedEx Harold on ESPN 1000. Hey, Harold.
What's up, guys? So, first and foremost, yes, I'm a diehard Cubs fan. At the end of the day, I'm happy for Rizzo. But at the end of the day, this is an organization that we can't get attached to these players, you know? Eventually, we're going to have to, like, just learn how to let go and start just focusing on this new rebuild. But I actually called in, too, just because just to see the Red Sox went after Schwarber. And I think that's going to be a perfect fit for him, because switching over from the NL to the AL, now he could be actually that DH. I know he's injured, but hopefully he has a good, successful at the end of the 3 months of this season to actually lift him up. So I want to hear your thoughts on that trade. Thanks, guys.
Schwarber Schwarber's had a great year until he got hurt. I mean, his June was absolutely remarkable. Slow start. His June was incredible. I don't know, maybe lack of sticky stuff for pitchers and things like that just kind of helped him. We'll see if he can pick up where he left off when he got hurt.
And two quick corrections. I said Rizzo's 33. He's going to turn 32 next month.
32.
So my bad on that. I got a little ahead of myself. And, again, you misread my writing, Carm. That was not FedEx Herald. That was UPS Herald.
That doesn't say UPS.
No, that was FedEx Herald.
It was FedEx.
Oh, you're making a joke. Oh, he's being
smart
funny.
Sorry, my joke is.
Smart. I'm like, don't tell me that says UPS.
You know, the best jokes are the ones you have to explain. So, obviously, that was on me.
We're live at Buttermilk Cafe in Vernon Hills. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
I'm really excited to get going, and I feel really confident.
Rizzo into right field. This ball. Center, it's deep, it's back, it's gone, into the jungle bushes.
This
unstoppable.
Is nothing short of amazing what this man is doing. Unfreaking believable.
Much room over there as Rizzo gets on the tarp, he makes a catch.
He wants to punch him out so bad.
I mean, you got to throw that baseball out. Somebody's got to. Yeah, that's right. Dropped around. That one got to get up. Gone. Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me? What an at-bat from Anthony Rizzo. An absolute marathon. Is he excited?
Frederick, ready? As soon as he saw me, I'm like, Frederick! I just started dying.
Hopefully this is a building block in this city and the organization, and I think there's a lot of good things to come.
And the next pitch to Martinez, a swing and a slow chopper to Ward third. Here comes Bryant on to first, and the Cubs have won the World Series! A moment! that many thought might never happen has happened here in Cleveland. For the first time in 108 years, the Chicago Cubs are World Series champions.
Right now, it's still a lot of emotions, but one of the best years of my life have been in Chicago and as a Cub and just becoming, you know, basically a local here and feel like I am a part of Chicago.
A lot of memories over the years. Anthony Rizzo appeared in over 1,300 games for the Cubs. Now he'll go play the last couple of months of the 2021 season in the Bronx with the Yankees. It's Kermit and Yurko live at Buttermilk Cafe in Vernon Hills, brought to you in part by First Midwest Bank, Midas, the home loan expert, and Valparaiso University. Training camp going on just down the road. We'll bring you some updates from there a little bit later on. Also talk about the big NBA trade last night in about 15 minutes. And another chance in less than a half hour to win White Sox tickets on a free ticket Friday. Yurko is off today. Midway Jeff Meller sitting in. We're up and running on Twitch. You can see us. Travis brought all the gear as he always does. What up, Twitchers? Twitch.tv. Download the Twitch app. And you can see us here live at Buttermilk Cafe in Vernon Hills. Just search ESPN 1000 Chicago. All right, phone line's full. A lot of people want to share stories, thoughts, whether you're totally pissed off or you kind of understand why the Cubs are doing all this. Thoughts on Rizzo. Bryant and Kimbrel, we keep saying it, we certainly expect them to be next, about 3.5 hours to go before the trade deadline in 2021. We will go to Paul in Valpo on ESPN 1000. What's up, Paulie?
Hey, guys, great show. Hey, real quick, I don't see this as a full teardown, you know? I mean, I think they're going to keep Contreras, obviously, with the next another year of control. They're going to keep Baez and build up the middle. Horner has been injury-prone, but I think he's the type of player moving forward who kind of gives you a good middle infield. You know, they need Hap to produce like he did last year and like he has at other times in his career, but he's still fairly young. And then you have a 1 or whatever you want to call him, a 1A in Hendricks, whose arm is probably going to age well. Aldele, besides the home run ball biting him, you know, he's got to get better, but I think he's stretched out this year as much as he has in his career. He's still young, and they're dedicated to about $99 million in payroll. I mean, this belief that Ricketts is never going to spend any money, he would be dumb not to. Why would you not spend money when you know you need to fill the ballpark and you know you need a good product to sell the marquee network?
Well, he spent money in the past. I mean, so you're right about that. They spent money on some big free agents. One of them worked out great. One has not, like we discussed in Crosstalk with Cap and Hoodie, and that's the Jason Hayward deal. Contreras, I think, is staying. They'd be crazy to not keep Contreras.
And they don't need to make a decision on Contreras right now.
They don't.
Have him for a year, and I'm with
you. But if you don't, you're kind of back in this position next year with him, aren't you? Like, I would think in the offseason the deal gets done with Contreras. I don't know what the holdup is. I mean,
maybe
$18 to $20 million a year. He's worth that. That's what the top catchers get paid, and he ranks amongst them since he came into the league in 2016.
Maybe, but again, like, I'm still curious to see how this new CBA will work out, and I wonder if that will hinder potential extensions for teams who are, you know, looking at soon to be free agents. If their agents will caution them, hey, before you go out and sign a deal, let's make sure that the CBA, you know, isn't more favorable to your potential free agency down the road. So I agree with you. It should happen, but I'm curious.
That could be the holdup.
Because
okay.
of the work-labor issue, I'm not as optimistic as I probably would be in other years.
Bad time to be a free agent.
And I do wonder, we've seen Ricketts go out and spend money to go ahead and add to a team that was already competitive. I think the question is, I know Cap's been on his he's been on his bully pulpit saying the Cubs need to go out and sign somebody like Correa, or he mentioned Story, although I don't know if I like Story as much, but go out and sign a big time free agent who maybe is better than some of the players who they will be trading away right now. But do you do that when you don't have enough around them to complement them? Like, are you just putting together maybe an 80 win team?
Yeah,
if you do that, like, don't throw away good money just to be,
To say we have a star player.
Or to, like, try and appease your fan base, but when in reality, you know, the best that gets you is like an 82, 83 win team. I think Jed knows that. He understands that. He doesn't want to spend on some of those guys who we've seen. Max Scherzer is an anomaly. Yeah. Normally when you spend big money, you're not like, wow, I would have spent more on him.
Right.
It doesn't work out
that
way.
He is an anomaly.
Often.
That's very true. I think that's important to note. He's more of the outlier. I mean, does it make it more likely then that they just do get some sort of deal done with Baez because he's a known commodity to them and he will help them sell tickets?
I think that's a possibility.
What happens with Seager now that Turner's out there? Turner's got another year of control.
Sure. Well, Turner's got the flexibility to play second or even center if they need to. So I think that's all up in the air.
Is Seager still in the Dodgers' plans, or does Seager hit the market?
I think
Correa, you're right. A story I wouldn't be as high on either.
Yeah.
Although I think he's a good player, and he's a very good defensive player. Marcus Semien. But maybe it just makes more sense for them to be like, Javi, come on, let's do five years, $100 million. You'll get your $20 million a year.
Javi's the guy who means more to the Cubs than any other team in baseball because of his marketability.
I think he's up there. Not the Tatis, but
I mean Javi is more valuable to the Cubs than any other team in baseball.
Because Cubs fans have
an affinity with Javi Baez. Like, again, he makes these spectacular plays that we talk about, that we devote entire shows to.
Sure.
Remember the Pirates debacle?
Yes.
When he
which was really more on the Pirates. But
nevertheless, Javi Baez has plays, and he made the tag cool. So I think he's somebody who is box office, who is marketable. So, I think there's definitely a reason why Tom Ricketts would be more inclined to sign Javier Baez than other players.
Yes, yeah. Paul, we thank you for the phone call. Let's go to Chris on the Northwest side. Hey, Chris.
Hey, good afternoon. Good morning, gentlemen. Just really quick, I want to share a contrary opinion to this. Mm-hmm. Lifelong Cub fan, you hear this all the time. But I want to for some reason, this hit me harder than I thought, and I knew it was coming, and I'm a grown man, but I get it. But people have to realize that Cub fans have been told the last couple years, hey, be happy with Theo because he brought a championship. If that was the attitude, the Giants wouldn't have won 3 in 5 years. The Marlins wouldn't won 2 in 6. Theo is leaving this team the way he found it, needing to rebuild. A team that should be the Yankees of the Midwest, a team that had started a new network that has been a travesty to Cub fans. And now we're being told we have to go through this again. So I get it. That's what sports is now. You can't make a championship unless you rebuild. I don't know how sports ever survived the previous 100 years where a team tried to compete every year. Mm-hmm. But this is something this is something that is a problem now. I'm pretty upset about it. Of course, I'll get over it. But I just think people should start really doing a retrospective of what the Theo and the Ricketts regime has done. Great for a World Series. Credit, he's going to the Hall of Fame. Theo is, I get it. But this shouldn't be happening now.
Well, all right, Chris.
And that's how I feel. And thank you for allowing me to come on your airwaves.
You know it, buddy. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it. Theo definitely is that, he's the Bill Walsh guy. It's 10 years. I think he learned a valuable lesson in Boston. I think he was saying it almost upon arriving here. 10 years, about it. It was a disaster at the end of it. He had two disasters in Boston. He's walking around in a gorilla costume, and he had a disaster on the way out when he made his triumphant return. I was a fan of Theo's from.
Yes, I was envious when the Cubs.
I absolutely was.
As a White Sox fan.
I think Theo is quite good at what he does. He's not perfect, and he doesn't seem to be great at sustaining that initial build up. The way Andrew Friedman's the guy. If you're going to go, the one guy that's doing it better than anybody else, it's Friedman.
Sure.
Right?
It's almost unfair that you get a guy who's as bright as Andrew Friedman is and understands the game the way he does to have also, by the way, the deepest pockets in the sport.
That's a lethal combination,
Miller.
You're right.
It's perfect for the Dodgers, bad for everybody else.
Yeah.
But I think Chris hit on another point, too, that we talked about the Marquee Sports Network and how the Cubs, their plans maybe didn't unfold the way they had hoped when they were drawing them up. Not just the pandemic, but again, the way live sports and streaming has kind of changed the entire landscape of how lucrative your own network may be for you.
This is Breaking News, sponsored by the Points Bet Sportsbook on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
I know how much. Oh, is it Jose Berríos, boys?
It is.
Jose Berríos to the Blue Jays?
Yes.
So another big one goes. The Twins unload Jose Berríos. I'm glad. Get him out of the division.
Yeah.
Damn guy.
Although there's another. He has another year left of control as well, so that I'm sure made him a lot more interesting to the Blue Jays. Another AL East team getting stronger.
Boy, the AL East.
Only three spots for four good AL East teams.
Oh, my.
The Orioles are just like, what the hell are we doing?
Yeah, the Orioles are like, man, we got a long way to go.
You know what?
We?
Real quick, back to the point, though.
All right, go ahead.
Chris was making it. It's a systemic problem in baseball. Losing is not as punitive as it once was for a lot of these organizations. Now they do the calculus and they say, you know what? We're going to make just as much money if we win 82 games as opposed to if we win 75. So there's no incentive to, as we were talking about, going out and signing a guy like maybe a Carlos Correa who can make you four or five wins better if you're in that middle ground if you're not going to be a true playoff contender. And so they offload and they just start up the rebuild. And I think that's a systemic problem in baseball. It's not going to fix. It's not going to be fixed.
I don't know how you fix that.
It's
just another
baseball,
one of the problems.
It's not high on the pecking order of things they care about. They still have a huge money-making operation, Carm, that 30 teams across baseball are all worth billions of dollars. So, you know, you've just been disincentivized to try and win 82 games like you once were.
We'll take another break when we come back. More calls, and we got a thought or two on what happened last night in the NBA. This has been an unbelievable week when you think about it, all these big trades in baseball, and there was a blockbuster in the NBA last night right as the draft was starting. We'll be right back live at Buttermilk Cafe in Vernon Hills.
It's Training Camp 2021.
Carmen and Yurko are in Vernon Hills as fans unload from the training camp shuttles.
Watch on the ESPN 1000 Chicago channel on Twitch.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
We are live at Buttermilk Cafe in Vernon Hills. It's Carmen and Yurko. Yurk's off today. I'll be back on Monday. Midway Jeff Miller sitting with me. Ken Rosenthal just tweeted about, this is 7 minutes ago, Rays talking with Cubs about both Chris Bryant and Craig Kimbrell. Sources tell The Athletic. Could trade for one of them individually or both together. No indication the deal is close. The Rays traded Diego Castillo yesterday to the Mariners, who is closing most of their games, I think, wasn't he?
Yeah, you know the Rays, though. They don't have a designated closer per se.
Yeah.
You're right. He leads the team in saves. I think he probably has around 15 or so in that. But they always have.
If they get Kimbrel, guess who's closing games for the rest
absolutely.
Of the year?
Yeah. But for the most part, Kevin Cash likes to match up
right.
and use guys in the best situation, the most high leverage situation.
Boy,
so.
The AL East, if that were to happen, like you just mentioned it. So Toronto just added Barrios.
Mm-hmm.
We know what the Yankees have done, being pretty bold. We know that the Red Sox have added, and Sale's coming back. If they, Bryan or Kimbrel or both, like, man, oh, man, the AL East. It is going to be tough getting through the AL. Say what you want about the Central. Yeah, it stinks. but, man, I mean, the A's,
the Astros,
the Yankees, potentially, the Red Sox. The Rays, maybe Toronto makes another late push. The White Sox. I mean, like, the top of it is good, and it's going to be tough, man.
Well,
that's why I'm glad the White Sox did add, because I think they addressed a couple of important things. Tapera's been a gem the last year and a half. I don't see why that's not sustainable for three more months.
Yeah.
It's a good add for the White Sox.
No, and they didn't have to give up a lot, so that's a good thing as well.
There was we'll get back to the phones in a minute. There was also a big NBA trade last night. Also a comp that had Meller beside himself.
My head was spinning.
The big trade, though, is, and I got to admit, my head spun for a minute when I went, whoa, Russell Westbrook has been traded to the Lakers. Now, obviously, LeBron is all in on this. They're not doing something like that without LeBron being in on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do wonder, like, where does the ball go, for crying out loud? I will say Westbrook had the lowest usage rate of his, you know, like, the lowest usage rate since his second year in the league, which was back in 2010 last year. Oh, and he had the best assist rate and led the league in assists per games, but he's still above 30% in usage rate. So is LeBron, obviously. You know, you really can't play Russell Westbrook off the ball. I was having a conversation last night with a buddy, like, could LeBron be thinking, like, I'm going to really step back more during the regular season and in games and pick my spots? And, like, Wes and AD, you do a lot of the heavy lifting, and then, like, in March, you know? I mean, could that be some of it? Because, like, it is a little surprising
to
see a trade like that.
That was my thought, was that that's exactly what's going to happen, is that LeBron he's hitting the point now where is he 36?
I think 37 this year, right?
His age 37 season.
LeBron turns 37, I think. I'll check.
So he's at a point where he knows that he can, you know, he's not Cadillacing it, but he's certainly wading his way judiciously through an NBA regular season. Yeah. And I think absolutely
LeBron will be 37 in December.
So his age 37 season. Yeah. So I think absolutely it's, Russ, you go get yours in the regular season.
Yeah.
Help us manage that so that come NBA playoff time, both AD and LeBron can be healthier, having, you know, bared less of the burden.
Yeah.
And I, you know, as a, look, he's averaged a triple-double now for four seasons. Now, for four of the last five seasons, the only time he missed was in Houston, where he actually did play a little off the ball with James Harden.
Yes.
So it's certainly, he can do it. It's not probably the best use of his abilities, but I think it's absolutely him being brought in to do more during the regular season, get them to the playoffs, and then they will try and figure it out in the playoffs. The question is, can you do that? Can you play completely different in the postseason than you do in the regular
season? Good question. They're going to try it, it looks like, in L.A. That was our thought, too. And it did affect the odds a little bit, bringing the Lakers down from about 6-1 to somewhere around 4-4.5-1 with the news of that yesterday. The draft went off. There were a few surprises maybe at the top. I like that the Bulls snagged Io. I think Bulls fans love that. I mean, how can you not?
Honestly,
that's a positional need. He's a Chicago kid. I mean, I think it's great.
I think that's really the only thing where the Bulls were picking last night. The only thing they could have done to invigorate the fan base was go ahead and draft a hometown kid.
And they did it.
And that was, so that's a home run for them in terms of marketing. Hopefully we can all root for Io and watch him become a difference maker at the NBA level. But the one thing that I feel pretty confident, my one takeaway from last night, Carm, was when Kendrick Perkins was on television, he made a comp for Evan Mobley, the third overall pick in the draft.
Whom I love, by the way.
Yeah.
I think Evan Mobley is going to be really good.
Sure, absolutely. A lot of people do. A lot of people thought it was a three-player draft at the top there. If you got Cade Cunningham, if you Jalen Green, or you got Mobley, you were a winner. And apparently Kendrick Perkins thinks the Cavs are a winner because of his comp for Evan Mobley last night.
I will say this. This kid Mobley reminds me of a modern-day Bill Russell. And here's the thing about him, right? He could have a Hall of Fame career if he buys into being a big that could do guard things. But if he come into the league wanting to be a guard that is forced to play the big, then that's when we have a problem. But if he embraces the role of actually being a center, protecting the basket, rim running, doing things around the paint that could do guard things, he's going to have a Hall of Fame career.
Oh, so Bill, but he did say modern-day Bill Russell.
This kid Mobley reminds me of a modern-day Bill Russell.
It's what I call comp crazy.
Yeah, does that mean?
We get comp crazy. Look, we were Michael was still playing in the – we had to have comp. Oh, there's Baby Jordan.
Harold Miner. Yeah.
There's Euro Jordan. There's Jewish Jordan. Tamir Goodman.
Mm-hmm.
There's
I thought it was Sylvie.
No.
Oh.
There's I remember French Jordan, Michael Petras.
Yes,
was French Jordan.
Of course.
I mean, this
Mario
is Michael
Hazonia,
Jordan.
Croatian Jordan or something like
who
too.
Was it?
Mario Hezonja. Remember him?
Oh, yeah, Mario Hezonja, right?
Yes. What, is that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Orlando drafted him, yeah.
We've had Jewish Jordan, Euro Jordan, French Jordan, Baby Jordan. I mean, it's like, you know, it's a Greek Jordan. At some point, you're just kind of like, maybe we should stop, you know, like. We get comp crazy. That's what we do. That's what these analysts do. We got to fill all this time. Like, okay, they're asking Kendra, what's the comp? What's the comp? What's the comp? Well, it'll be Bill Russell.
He was comparing guys to Luka, and he was comparing guys to LeBron, and then Bill Russell, and then someone brought up a comp for Jonathan Kuminga, comparing him to Jaylen Brown. And Kendrick Perkins was like, that's absurd. Get that out of my face.
My God. Are you serious? Like, wait a minute. You're comping. I mean, we're comp crazy. The world's gone to hell in a handbasket.
I'm trying to remember because I was watching multiple things last night. Is that when he went and said he's a – did he go – I think he went to Draymond Green then, didn't he, Tyler?
He
do you remember?
Have, yeah. I
think he was like, no, he's not Jaylen Brown. He's Draymond Green.
Oh, my God.
Like, every player who has any recognizability is getting comped in the NBA draft.
The craziest thing is, guys, he said Ayo Dosunmu's comp is Jonathan Kuminga. Go figure. No, I'm just kidding. I got to explain the joke. It's not funny, Tyler. Now they're comping guys in the second round to guys that were drafted in the first round. Like, that's basically what we're getting to. Like, enough with the comps.
Yeah.
We got to fill time. I guess.
Oh, you know what time it is?
I know what time it is.
White Sox! Go, go, White Sox! Let's go!
Free Ticket Friday. I'm your home for the White Sox.
On the 45s.
Caller 10, you win, and then you'll have another chance when Waddle and Sylvie are back later today. And the guys are out and about, too, on the southwest side. And at 2:45, 3:45, 4:45, and 5:45, you can win free tickets. 10th caller right now wins. All brought to you by our great friends at one of our favorite places, Chicago Cut. Oh, the best of the best. So, caller 10, you're in. We'll be right back.
Chicago's proud of you.
It's by Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team. College football returns to Wrigley this fall for the first time since 2010. Join Northwestern Football as they take on Purdue in the Wildcats Classic on November 20th. Tickets are on sale now at nusports.com.
There's a ton of excitement and anticipation for our team.
I could have been a contender.
We're in Vernon Hills, where fans are shuttled to training camp. Carmen and Yurko are on location.
Take it easy, champ.
On ESPN 1000.
Having a great time up here at Buttermilk Cafe. Back next week. We'll be here on Friday. Cap and Hoodie will be here on Thursday. Janice Lepresti was caller 10. She wins the tickets to the White Sox game next week against KC. Free Ticket Friday every Friday in your home for White Sox baseball. And it's Janice's birthday, so happy birthday to her.
Well, 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 what a happy birthday.
How about
As
it?
As we like to say on the Carmen Yurko Show, when we wish someone a happy birthday, also a happy early birthday to Terry Bradshaw.
That's right.
I knew he was going there. I knew
birthday, Terry.
Listen, it's a tradition.
It's never too early. It is a tradition, yes. And you'll have another chance to win on the 45s when Waddle and Sylvie are back after a greenie. Starting at 2. We'll get Mike North up here in just a second for his bonus play. White Sox back at it with Lance Lynn on the bump tonight. A huge favorite against the Indians tonight on the south side. About a 1-2 favorite tonight. Lance Lynn's got to be the stopper. And the offense got to score some runs, crying out loud. But I get it. Like, they're still not whole. I mean, Aloy came back, barely played. They're like an Aloy 3-run homer away from a pretty ugly losing streak here right now. You know, they've scored 17 runs in their last 8 games. That's really bad, but when the Hamilton, Mendick, and I don't want to insult these guys. I'm not trying to, but like when, you know, the Leuris, when those samples keep building and building because you have to play them because all the injuries, the offense is going to dry up, and they're just in one of those ruts right now.
I'll be curious to see what Rick Hahn does at the deadline, if he'll add anything else, because he has addressed the major needs in Hernandez and with the additions of Hernandez and Tapera.
3 hours to go. Let's get out to the Corona Hotline. We say hi to Mike North for the bonus play and the Odds Couple podcast.
We lost him again. I don't know what's going on with his phone.
All right.
I'll try to get him back for you, Colonel.
All right. No problem. Thank you very much. Well, is Bergen talking just to me, or is that on the air?
No, I heard him as well.
Okay, it was on the air. Okay.
Every once in a while, they fool you when you're doing radio.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't
tell.
You're
on a live remote. Yeah. You're like, is he talking to just us?
Like, wait, is Bergen just talking to me? Is that on the air?
Do we need to relay that? Yes.
Something's going on with Mike's phone. We'll get him.
Do you think Rick Hahn will make another deal? He's the main additions they needed. He's addressed.
They've addressed it. Yeah, I don't.
They haven't really. It doesn't seem like they're going to go ahead and get any type of blockbuster player
in here. I don't think so.
Here.
I don't think so.
Which is, you don't need to sacrifice. You have an 8-game lead. The Yankees and the Blue Jays are 8.5 and 9.5 games out of first place. Yeah. And oh, by the way, they're both seven and 8 games behind the Rays, respectively. They're both going for it because they're trying to get into the playoffs.
Right.
The White Sox, fortunately for their fans and the AL Central, have no real competition right now.
My guess is he did his work. He feels like it's enough, and they're going to be a different team in 2 months because they're going to be healthier. Knock on wood. That's the theory or the hope.
I wonder, too, if you know, the fact that, like, whether it was Cap or lots of people keep saying, like, oh, with the White Sox, you know, if there's any big-name player that they have interest in, it starts, like, the conversations start with Kopech. And you and I have both shut that down immediately because the reality is, like, you're not trading Kopech for a relief pitcher because, hey, by the way, if you haven't noticed, Michael Kopech has been a shutdown reliever for you in the form of most any good closer.
Yeah.
You don't need to trade him just to go get Craig Kimbrel. You're basically swapping out parts for a guy who has, you know, 4 less years of control.
Yeah.
So you're not trading. I wonder if, though, that has made it more difficult on Rick because he doesn't want to trade a Kopech. You know what I mean?
Or Vaughn. I would think Kopech and Vaughn are off limits. And I think he would listen on anybody else, to be honest. I think he'd listen on Crochet. I think they'd certainly listen on Sheets, even though they've been looking for left-handed power for a while. Chuck Arfine was making that point earlier this week. I think anybody could probably be had, but the conversation ends when people are insisting upon Vaughn or Kopech. They're not going to trade one of those two guys, short of getting back some sort of superstar player. A deal like that's not going to happen, and I don't think either one of those guys is going to go. All right, I don't know what was going on with Mike's phone.
It looks like we're not going to have Mike this week, but he wanted to give out the Pirates with the run and a half tonight.
Pirates in the run and a half. And yes. I will say, so Mike's bonus play, Pirates with the run and a half, and I will say that we've already recorded this week's Odds Couple podcast, and Tyler Rocky's going to get that up in the next hour or so probably, so it will be on the ESPN Chicago app.
The Pirates hosting the Phillies tonight.
Yes, Pirates and Phils tonight. Velasquez, I think, goes for the Phils, and who's going for the Pirates?
Will Crow.
Merck, lead us to a call here real quick or two maybe as we wrap up.
Carm, we don't have any callers right now. So
okay, everybody dropped off. What happened to Terry? What happened to John?
We did the White Sox thing. People kind of drop off. But
We had to do the giveaway.
Oh, the White Sox tickets. That's
I was going to say Dan Wiederer had some nice things to say about Justin Fields.
Read it.
Today.
Merck. Let's hear it.
Let's see. Fields had two sweet throws in 7-on-7. One, a fastball on an intermediate route over the middle to Thomas Ives. Is that how you say his name? I've never heard of him. And later, a perfectly placed shot up the seam to Javon Wims. High-level QB throws.
Ooh, high-level QB throws.
Yes.
Okay.
And Tevin Jenkins is still out with a lower back.
Tevin Jenkins, that's not good.
Jeez. Yes.
This is making me think of Chris Williams. Oh, yeah, yeah. Remember back injuries?
Yeah, come on. Are we going there already?
Back injuries? Come on. What are we doing here?
He also, this is a nice compliment. If you're looking for players who are totally locked in, start your list with running back David Montgomery. Has been impressive with his practice habits and articulating why taking on a leadership role means something to him.
I like David Montgomery. I think everybody knows my thoughts on him and my philosophy on running backs. Yurko and I share that philosophy. I don't want David Montgomery to not like us or talk to us in a couple of years when we say don't pay running backs and just find the next one. But I like David Montgomery. He's a good running back.
Yeah,
and I think the Bears are in capable hands with David Montgomery.
And the point is always not that you can't go out and find a guy like David Montgomery in the third round who can, you know, be your bell cow. That's exactly what you want to do if you're a franchise. What you don't want to do is pay them big-time money when they come up to free agency, because those guys are replaceable.
They are, absolutely. Thank you to Travis Wacker for helping out today here at Buttermilk. Thank you to Jarrett Strauss. These guys doing double duty today because Waddle and Sylvie have a remote coming up. They're on after Greeny, then Black and Abdallah into White Sox baseball. Great job back at the shop by Tyler Rocky and by Randy Merkin. Thanks, everybody, came out here to Buttermilk. We'll see you out here again next week. The station's out here Thursday and Friday. Meller, thank you.
Thank
you.
You
got White Sox Weekly tomorrow?
I do. 3:30 tomorrow, White Sox Weekly before White Sox and Indians.
All right, beautiful. Everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy the beautiful weather, and we will see you on Monday. James and Dyer and I have the final word.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have a last word
on Carmen and Yurko.
All right, I'm going to make this real easy for you to understand, okay, buddy? You cheer for the wrong team. Start cheering for the White Sox,
yes.
Okay?
No, not why we called. Huh? Where's Yurko?
That was the final word on Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.